This is the Well-Connected Twin Cities podcast. I'm Lily Zaborowski.
And I'm Alex Stahlberger. And we're here to help you feel empowered to own your well-being and discover what's possible.
Tune in for conversations with local professionals as they share their inspirations, insights, and discoveries that make holistic healing possible. We're sharing the fascinating stories from within the wellness industry for health enthusiasts like you across the metro. This week, I welcomed Amanda Levesque. She's a self-proclaimed brain geek and the creator of the online learning and empowerment platform called Science and Magic. Amanda is using her background in neuroscience and dance to lead us closer to understanding how actions like mindfulness and meditation are having a real biological, physiological, neurological impact on our bodies, and get this, they have an impact on the bodies of people around us. Yeah, we're going to get into that. But I asked her here to really talk to us about hope. What does hope do to our bodies? And more importantly, what's possible if we have a community of people practicing hope in our Twin Cities metro? Amanda, so glad to have you, because I've been really itching to have the conversation that brings in more of the deeper science of what's going on inside of us. And I knew you were the person to help us see that. So Amanda, you do so many different things. So I would love just to get an overview of what brought you to, first of all, Science and Magic, an incredible membership and class experience that really helps people, always correct me, right, if I'm wrong, but really helps people understand what's going on deeply within themselves and how can we use what we know about the body and the mind to start to change our experience as humans. How would you describe it?
Yeah, that's very accurate. And then there's another step to that with Science and Magic. It's about taking that learning of what's in our inner world and syncing it to the environment. So understanding how seasons influence, how moon phases influence us, diving into the magic of earth-based rituals and really understanding not only our body, but the world around us, which in many ways in this kind of artificial society of technology and media, a lot of us have lost sync with that. I know that's something that I have to strive to every day, make an effort to paying attention to nature, paying attention to seasons, and really learning how they influence my biology. So Science and Magic itself is kind of the marriage of those two principles, inner and outer. My work and where I find the most intrigue is working with high-achieving busy bees. And the reason I know how to work with this demographic and population is because I am one. I love my work. So I work with people who love to work and they almost get lost in their work. They forget about their bodies. They forget about their environments because they're so sucked in and finding so much joy with what they're doing. And I get that. But over time, that creates kind of like dis-ease or a lack of harmony in the body because the body wants to be brought with us on our journeys. And we're here to inhabit our bodies, to be with the environment of the earth. And I help high-achieving busy bees slow down and find balance so that they can flow through life with more ease and really reside in their moments. And so that life doesn't just slip away from them. So Science and Magic is a virtual learning platform that is designed for everybody, but my work is really tailored towards busy bees. So all of those learning experiences are designed to be bite-sized. So we have 15-minute yoga classes. We have short contributions and classes to really help you just get a bite-sized understanding of how to sync your nervous system to the cycles of the earth. And ultimately that is to help us create more of a connection to our bodies and the world around us.
Yeah. Well, and congratulations on the Insight Timer highlight. I just finished up listening to the, what was it called? Nervous system massage. Uh-huh. I mean, for a science nerd, I'm also a science nerd. Like I love to know the why, like how is this actually impacting our body? Which is why I felt like from the first conversation that you and I had, we really had clicked. But that just is so neat to know it's not just meditation, like what's happening in our bodies when we choose to take that break. So it's so exciting to see that be access,
accessed by thousands of people. I checked in today, it was listened to by 3.5 thousand people, and that's only a few days ago.
Yeah, it's amazing. And it shows too, like the word, the title of it, nervous system massage, feels like it's really needed, or it really resonates with people right now. Like, oh, my nervous system needs a massage. And the response has been really wonderful. In the comments, many people have said it helps them to be in their bodies or check back into the moment. And so to know that that meditation is offering value to so many, it just warms my heart.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I love what you said about the title, because while so many meditations or yoga classes, they feel good, but that title brings another element to it too. Another like almost sense of awareness of like, oh, that's right. My nervous system does respond. And like, maybe it does need a massage. Do you find that, that's definitely purposeful in everything that you name?
Yeah. And I've been a yoga practitioner for about 10 years. I've been teaching for 8. And I know that a lot of the yoga classes that I've been to, there's tons of physical cueing and cueing to muscles. And there's so much value in that. But really, when reflecting upon my personal journey through anxiety and overwhelm, what yoga, the practice of postures and asana, has brought me is ease in my nervous system. So it tones the nervous system. And when, you know, you can be in a yoga posture like downward dog or child's pose or just laying on your back, and you can have the experience of your muscles if you shift your perception into that, feeling into them, cueing them. You can have the experience of your skeleton by feeling into the density of your bones, and you can also have the experience of your nervous system. And a lot of this is just shifting perception and understanding what parts of our body that we're accessing or toning or working with. And I love speaking to that in the classes that I teach and within the way I work with my clients and my course participants of like, how can we use yoga and meditation to work with our nervous system? And what is our nervous system and how does it respond? Because it feels really empowering to know that. I think we live in a really, muscle active oriented society. So just shifting that and creating more variety, and that's not bad, but there's a lot of that. So I find that whenever I speak to the nervous system, it draws people naturally, and it drew me too. I love learning about the nervous system and talking about it.
Well, let's step back. I want to hear, and I know everybody listening wants to hear, like, what kind of drew you to this point that you are at now? I mean, you have so many different experiences. Yoga, and your schooling, right? Like, tell me, how did you get to this place and like, what drew you here?
Yeah. So I mean, honestly, it started back in college. I wanted to go to school to be a doctor. So I got into biology and started that route. And slowly, like through my studies, I found myself naturally drawn to the nervous system. So I switched from being pre-med to studying neuroscience. At the same time, I decided to work on a dance minor. So I studied neuroscience at the University of St. Thomas and then a dance minor at McAllister. And a lot of people just, they thought that was so funny. They got the biggest kick out of it. They're like, what? Like dance and neuroscience? But I found that it was the most amazing combination because I would learn about the body through lab, through lecture. And then every day I was, you know, biking to McAllister, and then I'd go into the dance studio and I'd experience what I'd learned for myself. I'd integrate it. I'd shift my attention into various parts of my body and my nervous system and feel into what I was learning. And I feel so lucky because I am a somatic learner, and many people are, but there's not many outlets for that in our current education system. So for me to, I was doing it, you know, unconsciously, like I wasn't intentional about like, let me sign up for dance so that I can have a somatic learning experience of neuroscience. But when reflecting back, it was literally the perfect combination. And, you know, fast forward years later, and I went to school at the Rolf Institute of Structural Integration. And this is where we do hands-on work with connective tissue and fascia in the body. And simultaneously, we're doing work with the nervous system. And I found that I was learning again, about the nervous system through my hands, through the use of presence, through connection in not only the person's body that I was working with, but my own body as well. And it just deepened my understanding of the nervous system. And my mentor at the time too, I mentored with Kevin McCarthy. He's based out of Minneapolis for a year, and he is really skilled somatic experience practitioner. So he works a lot with trauma and nervous system integration. And I learned so much from receiving work from him, but also sitting in on sessions and learning about how the nervous system responds, again, by sensing it, not just reading about it, but sitting with it, feeling it, and being with it. So I love, love, love this combination of let's learn about the nervous system, but let's integrate it into our bodies. We're whole beings, not just, I mean, we live in a really heady society too. So not just analyzing and thinking about it, let's feel into it. That's my passion. And all of these, I wasn't consciously working towards science and magic my whole life, but subconsciously I kind of was, because it has culminated into this expression of working with people in this way.
Mm-hmm. And having that be such an accessible way for somebody to taste that and figure out what that integration might be for their own person.
Yes.
Because what I love about the membership is that it's kind of, you have, it's an accessible platform. It's so accessible to anybody. So can you tell us a little bit about the purpose of having it be so accessible? Is it based on the people that typically are drawn to you, those busy bee personalities?
The accessibility, this might come from my Aquarian son. I just love the idea of just like universal knowledge. Everyone can be involved. And the price accessibility is really important for me, that $11 a month. I mean, it's incredible. It's $250 worth of content that different contributors are offering to the platform every month. We have yoga teachers, mindfulness experts. We have someone guiding us through rituals. We have a dream oracle, a lunar phase workshop moonologist. And everyone's offering all these classes every month. And I figure the beautiful thing about the internet is that we can put that up on a platform and 1,000 people can sign up for $11 a month. Versus like if all of these contributors were to be in their physical bodies in one room, there's so much beauty in that. Don't get me wrong. But the room capacity has a capacity. So it's like you can only hold so much. But the internet, because it can hold so many, we can set a lower price point and it can reach more people. And the way that we have it set up, I played around with doing live contributions, but because my main draw is working with busy bees, high achievers, they typically don't have time to like be on a schedule. So accessing contributions on their own time is really important. So like early in the morning, or kind of when the kiddos go to bed, late night, or maybe they can roll out their mat for a second in the middle of the day. But generally that ability to access the content at any point that they would like works really, really well, and has been more successful than our live streamed content. And that's just because our demographic likes to kind of free flow and do things when they can fit it in and intake that information. So in this way, I mean, I miss being in person. Don't get me wrong. I love it. I love being in person with people. I find so much value in that. But the accessibility of this subscription is able to be what it is because the internet has such a wide array of possibility. And I find that to be fascinating and really, really exciting.
Mm-hmm. No, it is really exciting because what you're talking about is that when people have this knowledge and they understand how their own body responds and they're taking initiative to integrate some of these practices, they're physiologically responding to that, which is exactly where I want to get next, because I feel like that is a huge, first of all, sentence, and it's hard to really grasp. And you're so practiced now at helping people understand what the impact of this is. Can you give us just an idea of like when we make this intention, what's happening within our bodies and how can we expect a shift or change? What's happening?
Yeah, I think the main thing that I see and where I start with all of my clients is that people are pretty much operating from a state of stress. And this isn't to kind of create shame around that. Like you hear a lot like chronic stress is bad. Avoid chronic stress. And then people start to feel guilty or bad about it. Stress can actually be our friend. It can help us evolve, but it's more about knowing that it's there. So because of the quick pace of our society right now, like technology notifications, I mean, we've all felt it. Like we've got email here, and Instagram here, and we're doing this over here. It's constant influx of small stressors, not to mention like there's deadlines or, you know, like Zoom calls. I was going to say social gatherings, but Zoom social gatherings and things like this, like that fill up our day. And the way that stress looks in our society right now is very different than how our bodies have evolved to be with stress. So our ancestors evolved to be with stress in like bigger, less frequency stressors. So they'd maybe be going, you know, hunting and come across a predator and then have to interact with that predator and have this big influx of stress, this big stress response in their bodies, which makes us superhuman. And then they would be able to go back and integrate and just like calm down and let their body restore. So the stressors in our society and the stressors that our ancestors dealt with are very different, but the biological cascade remains the same. So when we're handling, they're dealing with like, oh, emails or, oh, all these notifications or these deadlines, the biological cascade that's happening in our bodies is to the same extent that it would be if a bear was chasing us. And so this is what I always work with my clients is a lot of us are on high alert all the time and we don't get a break. So many of us don't have this recovery time of like, okay, I call it create your cave. So carve out your little cave, and it doesn't have to look like 2 hours of yoga and meditation. It can be small moments. It can be 5 minutes of just like, let me put in this meditation or let me sit in silence. Or let me hit child's pose just to bring my body back down into balance. Balance is referred to as homeostasis. So that's one of the biggest things that I see is that it's getting the body back into a state of balance and ease. And this is where yoga and meditation, it's brilliant at this and toning the nervous system and just calming it down. Breath work's really amazing too. We have a lot of breath work in the portal. But just from that place of ease, then we can start to interact with our environment in a different way.
Wow. When you and I, was one of our first conversations, we've had quite a few great ones. But I remember quite specifically, it was the first time I was introduced to the concept of quantum physics that really made sense to me. This idea that I'm going to paraphrase what I remember you saying, right? This idea that when we choose to like calm, or when we choose an emotion, we are made mostly of space. So our body chemistry can shift and change. And that's, it changes how we our whole frequencies, everything that we are vibrates. And then it kind of can cascade outward. Can you tell us a little, so that's what I remember. can you fill that out and like help us understand that? Because I think, I'm just going to stop there.
Totally.
Help us understand that.
Well, I like to kind of demystify the term energy too. So yeah, our body's electric. Electricity flows through our neural pathways and our neurons. Our neurons are the primary cells of our nervous system, and there are thinking cells, and they communicate to each other through electricity. It's the flow of ions across the axon potential of a neuron, and it evokes electricity in the body. And you can, you know, measure that electricity via, it emits a magnetic field around the body. So there is a literal field around the body. And this is where some people can sense into that. And you can sense into the feeling of someone else in the room because we can feel that life, that resonance. And when we're in a state of fear or fight or flight or anything that feels like, I don't know, like ruffling the feathers a little bit, this creates an incoherent energy pattern because the body is working kind of in smaller less coherent ways. So it's like, I'm looking over here to dart away from this, and then this is coming, and you become hyper aware of your external environment. So you're emitting incoherent energy patterns around the body. And when you can come to a space of peace and coherence and harmony within yourself, you're emitting more coherent patterns around your body because your system is working together and with each other. And so the frequency patterns are communicating around. And we sense this with people. I mean, this is where I think we can sense into like good vibes or bad vibes, quote unquote, right? I don't think things are necessarily right. good or bad, but I think we're conditioned to be able to sense into where fear may be because this has helped us survive throughout history. If we can sense into, oh, this human being is scared, I should pay attention because that's going to be advantageous to me surviving the situation. Right. So it's like,
right.
So, with, yeah. so within these, that's that energy frequency. And so the frequency that we're emitting that creates an attractor pattern around us that can draw things to us or radically shift our experience. So this is how our emotions play in. And, you know, quantum physics, I will forever be intrigued with it. It's not my area of specialty, but I love learning about it. And I do think that, you know, at the base level, our atoms are made up of 99.999999% space.
Yeah.
And just thinking about that feels really expansive. And so often what I'll do with clients is if they're feeling an area of their body that feels tight or constricted, and we can even lean into that right now, feeling a space and as constricted and then remembering that that space, that area is mostly space. And that yeah. helps you kind of relax into that compression. And for me, when thinking about my body is mostly space, it helps me connect to the energy of the body and not just this 3D matter. And when we connect to energy, we connect more to possibility, potential. And there's more space in our thoughts, in our bodies. It doesn't feel so stuck and stagnant and rigid. Mm-hmm. Does that resonate?
Oh, yeah. Yes. Okay. I just want to say thank you because, so considering all of our listeners, we're really wanting to make sure that no matter where you are on this like health journey, like there is something here for you. And I think a big barrier to holistic or alternative approaches, quote alternative, right? Approaches to accessing our own health or being in control and embodying that empowerment is sometimes the language that surrounds practices. And when you're talking about energy, energy work is a huge area of specialty for so many practitioners, even if it's like an adjacent thing that they do, you know, chiropractors that also understand energy and how it works. But I feel like there's not enough conversation happening about what is happening energetically. Like, what is energy? What is it? Yeah. Like, and instead of being afraid of it and saying like, ooh, I don't know, like, more of this conversation.
Yes.
Right. Would you
yes.
agree?
Yes. No, I love
it. Am I just getting riled up?
No, I love it. I love yeah. it. I, you know, I think, and I love demystifying some of these topics, and that's where that tension, but that's not even tension, the combination, the tension, the curiosity between science and magic lies is because it's like, let's have both. Like, how can energy be scientific? And you like,
yes.
And if you do think about it, like logically, what is bringing life right now to my facial expressions, to my voice? It's electricity. It's energy. Our body's emitting energy. And once we're like, oh, that makes sense. Then maybe we're more open to different modalities. Like, I think it helps to have that marriage of the analytical brain, understanding why, so that when we try the practices, there's more, we believe it. We're like, okay. And then just by believing something, it really helps to have impact or integrate it too.
So, well, that's a whole nother conversation.
That's a whole
nother right?
conversation. Like,
that's a whole different yeah. can of worms.
As you know, Well Connected is the place to find your local wellness resources. And during this pandemic, you might find yourself looking for meaningful ways to make a difference. You can find opportunities like that now on our blog, We're highlighting local nonprofits who are taking care of the people in our community who've been the most adversely affected. And we're rounding up some amazing opportunities to donate wellness services to people who need it right now. So if you want to gift a furloughed worker a month of online yoga with their favorite studio, you can do that. Or if you want to donate a mental health session to a frontline worker, you can do that too. And are you loving what you've heard about Science and Magic? You know, you can donate an annual subscription of that amazing content for just $111. And you can find out more opportunities like this on our blog at wellconnectedtwincities.com. Well, you know, one of the main motivations I had and topics of interest that I really wanted to make sure we bring up today, mm-hmm. because of our current communities, there's a lot of feelings, there's a lot of emotion, there's a lot of community feelings, right? Mm-hmm. I'm wanting to hear from you about like those positive emotions. We've heard, you know, positive emotions are good for us to have, but like, let's understand a bit about why, like what happens when we have really strong positive emotions, like hope, when we feel hope, when we feel love. What happens, and like from a community perspective right now, as we are like trying to band together, what might be possible if we were able to feel more hope, more love in community?
Yeah, I know. I was thinking a lot about this question, and I hear a lot of kind of like release fear or like only focus on like love versus fear. And I've been reflecting on this a lot in my life, because I also think that yes, lean into hope, lean into peace, lean into love. But I think a big part of this is also not resisting the fear that we're feeling, not resisting the anger, maybe like letting our body have those feelings. And just even saying that can feel like, oh, thank God. Like I can feel scared some days. I can feel overwhelmed. And that in and of itself is self-love and loving. And your body just wants to be heard. It wants to be processed. It wants to be loved and integrated and held in whatever way that is. So kind of before we lean into this conversation of hope, I just want to really, really emphasize that if you're feeling fear, if you're feeling overwhelm, panic, anxiety, these aren't wrong feelings to feel. Like we're really complex human beings. So I think like kind of letting yourself be on whatever part of that emotional spectrum that you need to be on. And I myself, I'm going to be talking about like love and peace and hope, but I mean, I go on waves all the time and I work with my clients. I'm like, life is just going to be like this, up and down and up and down for the rest of our lives. It's how much can we find ease on those currents, those waves. And when we understand what's happening, we can kind of separate ourselves a bit. Like we can feel the emotions, but we aren't the emotions, if that makes sense.
So what you're saying is finding a bit of space and recognizing that we have a response to what it is that's happening.
Exactly. And before we again go into this conversation of love, I will say what happens in the body in times of stress or overwhelm, and you asked about the body earlier too, is think about if a bear comes on a trail in front of us and we're hiking, heartbeat starts to increase. Muscle tone starts to get more tense. Breathing gets a lot shorter. All the blood flow goes to our limbs and we're ready to fight, to run away, to act, to become superhuman. So this is often what's happening in response to maybe a pandemic, right? As we're like, oh my gosh, it's like so much. Your body is trying to protect you from the bear, from the threat being the pandemic or perhaps, you know, losing your job or having your business be shut down. So your body's just being your body, and it's okay to feel into those things. But when you feel these sensations happening, knowing that they're happening and being able to add some consciousness and presence around it so you can shift your perception, which is where we're going to go next. Is there any, do you have questions about that first little part? Did I miss something? Mm-hmm.
No, okay. You didn't miss anything. I was leaning into it.
Okay, good, good, good. I'm just making sure I'm not going too fast.
No. And I don't think so, but I would want to encourage anybody listening. There is a lot that's being talked about. Like it's okay to also listen back
to this conversation again and again, especially if some of these topics, it might be the first time you're thinking about these things in this way. Like, it's okay. Like, this is a resource to you. Come back and then say yes to more of Amanda.
Yeah. And
so, yeah.
And I think too, like, think about when you're feeling fear or apathy, boredom, it's really hard to find, to reach for, oh my gosh, I'm so grateful. And I like love this world. Like, you almost feel like stuck in it. So a lot of this is coming back to the present moment and just like, okay, I'm feeling fear. I'm feeling sadness. I'm feeling boredom. And then coming back to the sensations in your body for what they are. So rather than, so it's like, okay, so my heart is beating fast. My breath is shortening. Like, how can I elongate my breath? And we can start to slow the body down so that the fear isn't so in the body. And the interesting thing about the human mind is we can turn on this response just by our thoughts. So just by thinking about a potential situation or just by remembering something in the past, this exact same biology that the bear is on the trail can happen in our body. So this is where yoga and meditation and practicing that can really be helpful. So that's
so what
one.
You're saying yeah. is that we can trigger it with that. So the bear on the trail mm-hmm. happens.
Yes.
Weeks later, we remember the bear on the trail.
Yeah.
The same biological cascade of chemicals happens just like the bear is on the trail. Is that what you mean?
That's what makes us uniquely human. Yes. We can turn the stress response on just by thinking alone. Which I think, I mean, just sitting with that and remembering that is really, okay, it can feel like daunting, but it's also incredibly empowering how powerful our thoughts are. Wow. Yeah. So it motivates me to understand what I'm thinking and when and kind of snap out of it and practice more presence. What biology am I turning on in my body? And it's always okay to ask for help from healers, from loved ones within this process. Oftentimes the bear may be a source of really significant trauma in your life. So working with a healer or professional is really, really important and helpful as well to kind of walk you through that. And then the second part of like leaning into hope and love and peace, I was reflecting on what hope was. And it's interesting, hope feels really forward-leaning for me, like hoping for a future, whereas a lot of the work I do is in the present. It's bringing you back to the present. And so I was reflecting upon, you know, where do I feel hope or when do I feel hope? And it's moments where I'm feeling love in the present. So like, you know, waking up slowly in the morning next to my partner, or taking just like a hot shower and just like listening to music and feeling just like in the flow, like so present. Watching the sunset. And I think nature naturally has this resonance of hope. So hope exists in the moment. Like it exists as we are now. And that's the kind of hope that I want to have the discussion about today, is like not this hope for pining for like what we need in the future. This isn't bad. Like it's good to be future focused, but in the work that I do, it's like, how can we come back to the presence, the resonance of hope? And that is the experience of love and gratitude and joy in the present moment. And the moment, it doesn't have to be this big expression. It's like small things. Like we spoke about like sunlight on your skin mm-hmm. in the middle of the day. That's accessible to all of us. And it feels so good. And in these moments, we're just like, yes. And then we're more likely to be hopeful about like, this is going to be okay. Like I'm okay right now.
Yeah. Hope is an interesting word, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I wonder if we all just take a moment and ask ourselves, what do we believe hope is? Because that obviously is going to change our experience of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I love what you said about being able to feel it now, because absolutely, yes. And it's funny. Yes, hope is in the future for me as well, but I guess it's not only when I think about hope, like hope is knowing that if I take an action, there will be a reaction. And like that I have a choice to take an action and then there's going to be a response. If we were to give away, like take away hope, it's like, I have an action. There is no response. Like there is not, I have no control over that response. I am in this path. This lane cannot change. Do you also resonate with that? Like what if we, Hope is challenging. Yeah, it's a big word.
No, bingo. I mean, I find, because I was like, okay, so what? I was really reflecting on hope. Hope for me is understanding the brilliance of my body and my power as a creator of my experience through the way that my perception, the way that I can wire my brain through consciousness, through the way that I can act from a place of presence, through the way I interact with my environment, moment to moment to moment. So I feel hope when I feel empowered. And I feel empowered when I understand how amazing my body is. I also feel hope when I sense into community. So like that there were several clips from Italy when all, you know, the Italians were on the balcony singing with each other. And there was this deep feeling of hope. And I would watch like a Zoom concert. And yes, it was over technology, but it really pulled me into this present moment. It was this really beautiful concert of beautiful music, and just watched it and felt so tapped into community. So hope also comes from connection to others as well. So it's like connecting to, it's that internal, external. It's connecting in to our brilliant bodies, connecting to the nature, to our environment, and to other people. And it lies here in knowing that, I don't know, you almost forget about the future in moments of hope. Like, I'm okay now, just for this moment. I'm okay now. You know,
I love, I get what you're saying. Yeah. I get what you're saying. That's rich is what I'm going to say. That's rich. That's yummy.
Yummy.
That's delicious.
Yeah.
That's very yummy. So help us understand what we know about the nervous system, what we know about our brains, about our body. How can we more intentionally bring in more of those positive emotions to, you know, change and elevate our current present?
Yeah. First, it's that finding balance in your nervous system. So just coming to that baseline of like, okay, I'm feeling, if you're on this, like you're feeling really negative or stuck in this momentum of apathy or overwhelm, it's saying, okay, how can I just be with this? How can I come right here, right now? And that comes through, I mean, many practices. Some people feel that through running. Some people feel it through, you know, taking a walk outside. I find it through yoga practice or being in nature or being with my breath. And then from there, it's really exciting because you can start to, from that place of balance, start to actively practice gratitude or love or appreciation or more high resonant emotions. And I do this through journaling about what I'm grateful for. So every morning I have a practice of waking up and I journal and I just say everything I'm grateful for. It's often small things that are seemingly small, but they're big. Like, I'm so grateful I have an apartment right now to just feel cozy. I'm so grateful I have all day spread out in front of me to be, you know, creative, to do the work that I love doing. I love my backyard and things like this. And in practicing this, you start to spiral and you're feeling gratitude. You're feeling an energetic resonance of appreciation. And then, yeah, you just kind of get into a flow and you get super creative and the work that comes from you is more sourced from a place of coherence. So yeah, step one is getting back into balance, getting back present. And then from there, you can actively start to create your experience by focusing on things that, I mean, the best way I've done is focusing on things that I feel genuine appreciation for, genuine love for. I love like reading about stories of hope. Like, what information are you intaking? I love reading books of like things that make me feel empowered, learning about your nervous system. So,
yeah. Can you define for us, you mentioned high resonance emotions or high frequency emotions. I can't remember which word you used. What is that? Like, what's that category?
Yeah, that would be, there are emotional scales out there. I think there's one, like Power Versus Force is a book that I like love, and they have different calibrations. They did muscle testing with different emotional frequencies and the attractor patterns surrounding the body based off of those emotions. And from what I remember, it would be like peace is at the very top. Love, appreciation are really high resonance, meaning that it creates a high attractor pattern around the body. and things are naturally drawn or experiences are drawn to you in that attractor pattern. And then like more mid levels, like neutrality, and then lower levels would be like survival based emotions, things to keep your physical body safe. So fear, anger, rage, things like that.
Mm-hmm. That's fascinating in itself.
You would love that book.
Writing it down. Okay. Put it on my list. Yeah. I'll read it. Yeah. What is it called again?
Power versus force.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, we'll make sure I link to that. Yes. In the notes.
Yes. So good.
So the first step is really understanding where our point of balance is. I love the description of a cave, like where is your safe mm-hmm. cave and being able to access that balance. Mm-hmm. And then you did mention, I mean, it is a practice. So if we're not in practice with this, it could feel uncomfortable. Is that what you're saying? Like to build up that muscle of being more grateful, more loving, feeling more peace.
Yes. I think it is a practice. In my life it is. I mean, maybe to some people it comes really naturally, but you know, I say it's a muscle that should be flexed, and the cave, you know, creating, I work with my clients to create their daily cave that looks differently for different people because we're all wired so differently. Some people really like finding that in the morning, some people before bed, some midday. And then our tools that we use are different too. So some people really resonate with meditation. Some people don't like meditation. They'd rather do yoga. Some people love breath work. Others are like, I can ditch the breath work. So a lot of this is finding what tools work for you. And then, you know, even within the portal, for example, there's several different instructors and some people resonate with the delivery of certain instructors over the other. So it's really finding what works for you, and you want it to feel yummy. You want to look forward to it. So I think there's definite takeaways from like, I'm going to be disciplined about this and show up to my mat and do the thing, even when I don't feel like it. It's not like every day I'm like rushing to my mat to practice, but honestly, once you create your cave in the yummiest way and you have the lighting perfect and you have the music that you like, you just can't wait to go there. That's like your time, your place, and it's a place for you to refresh and rebalance. So it's about finding the tools, creating the space, and then making it as yummy as you can. So it's not something you have to do, but it's something you just can't wait to do.
Yes. What's possible as a community if we were to all have these tools and use them and practice? What's possible for, let's just say, our Twin Cities, right? Our local communities.
Yeah. I always love giving this example, but one of my areas that I like to study is the intelligence of the heart. The heart has its own nervous system. And there is a practice that you can do to evoke more coherence in the heart space and how it communicates to the brain. The Heart Math Institute has several practices, and it's a nonprofit organization, and they have peer-reviewed scientific studies. One of the studies that they did is they separated groups of people into groups of four at various card tables, and three of the four of each group were trained in heart math techniques to evoke more coherence in their body. And you can measure heart coherence. So they had hooked up their, you can like clip it on your ear, and then it measures the rate at which your heart beats and the coherency of that beating. And so all four subjects were, you know, being measured their heart coherence. And in every single case, the three who knew how to evoke heart coherence were able to positively influence the coherency of the fourth person who didn't know how to evoke heart coherence just by being in coherence, just by practicing.
Let's say that again. So the three people that were practicing, yes, made an influence on the person who had no idea what those things were.
That's right. Just by being, not even saying anything. So this means, and you know, if getting into heart coherence too, is like that influences your endocrine system, the balance of your nervous system. So just by being in a peaceful state in your body, you're signifying to the people around you, to also the animal bodies in us, right? The part of us that's like wants to be safe, that they're also safe and they're in coherence. So we can positively influence the biology of the people in the same room as us, which I find absolutely fascinating, without saying words, without trying, just by being in our bodies. So That's a way to positively influence. And I know like we're not really in spaces next to each other so much right now. I think like practicing this at the grocery store is a good one because it feels really weird right now to go out to actual spaces. You know, we're all in masks and we're kind of like darting eyes and like rushing around each other and stuff. But maybe try going, practicing that place of peace and coherence actively and just see what happens. It'll feel better for you. And who knows, perhaps it will positively influence another shopper or the worker there or something like that. So that's one way. Mm. And then there's all sorts of like studies and where they have like peace gatherings that come through. And in Dr. Joe Dispenza's book, Becoming Supernatural, he indicates that there's 50 peace-focused projects that have been done around the world, and that crime and warfare were reduced by an average of 70% in every single study across. So just by, and he said that the main factor was the amount of people that could come together and meditate at the same time. So this is on a wider scale of like just practicing peace as a collective. And I know that there have been various, you know, meditation gatherings over social media and stuff, but just by sitting in peaceful resonance with a community of people, that energy is being emitted out into the wider world and having actual measurable impacts based off of these studies.
Yum.
So good, right?
It's so good.
It feels empowering, and that's hope because yes. We are powerful. That's hope. Yeah.
I just think of all of the, you know, the family units and their physical spaces, having the opportunity to practice this and realize, you know, how does the family unit respond if you've got, you know, all these human beings in the same space for a long period of time. There's lots of feelings that go along with that. Being able to practice that, yes, at the grocery store, but also around the kitchen table. Like, how does that change our experience?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Yes. Thank you for bringing that up. Yes. Roommates, partners, families, yes. Kiddos. Oh my gosh. 100%. Yes.
Right. And something so accessible, something so, you know, everybody, like the sunshine, like you said, we have, well, now hopefully we have access to that more frequently, right? Yes. We also have access to, you know, our bodies and controlling that once we have the information, you know, once we know how it works and have practiced how to wield it within our own bodies, you know, that's what's possible, a greater sense of empowerment.
Yes. And it's feeling, you know, feeling the world through yums, like these little moments of yums throughout your day. Like there's a beautiful meal in front of you, right? I mean, maybe it's like chicken noodle soup, 'cause that's all you eat. Yeah. But like, it's still food and it's nourishing and like practicing gratitude for like, wow, thank you so much. Like this is so good, and tasting it and being with it. Mm. And when you walk outside, like feeling the air on your skin, these little moments of yum can really help tap you into the present moment. And that's coming, it's coming through your five senses. And it's harder to do that when you're in a state of fight or flight, which is why, you know, I'm so intentional about speaking about that first. But when we can tap into the present moment through our senses, like, oh my gosh, it makes this time of uncertainty so much easier to be with, because we're like, yum this, yum that. I'm grateful for this. Oh my gosh, so sweet. Like, look at that interaction between my kids. Oh, so it's like, and then the more that we focus on these more positive, delicious aspects in our life, the more we're going to, our subconscious will create more of it. And that's a whole different conversation too. That's more about like manifestation and conscious creation. But it just starts with just like, how can I be with this? How can I just be here now? And often we can find a lot of hope in when we can be here.
Yes. But mic drop. See you later. Bye. Like,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I guess I'm going to open it up as we kind of conclude this conversation and wanting to know, you know, tips or tricks for actually accessing that space that you feel like would be helpful for the listener here to know so they can start this practice today.
Yeah, I have, I recorded a meditation album called Neurosound. And if you're intrigued by meditation, I would highly suggest this. It's on my website and there's a user manual associated with it that goes through what each meditation is designed for, but is intended to take you through a tour of your own nervous system. And there's the nervous system massage is the one we spoke about in the beginning, but there's also a track for evoking heart coherence, which is such a good practice for resonating in gratitude and appreciation from an inside out space. There's also a track about consciously creating in the quantum field. And, you know, there's a prompt to, it's fun to just play, right? So it's like creating, like evoking a vision that you want to instill in your life. And the meditation guides you through the experience of space and sending that visualization into space. So there's two more tracks, and each of them are backed by this amazing cello music. My friend Daniel Zamza plays for Cloud Cult, one of my favorite music groups. And he has curated and created a soundscape for each track. So I would highly suggest that if you're really interested. And then, of course, Science and Magic. It's only $11 a month, and there's literally so many different tools and contributors for you to kind of navigate and find what works for you. There's yoga, meditation, breath work, there's movement, there's nervous system learning. I do a short lesson in the portal every single month based off of the theme. You can learn about different rituals and how the moon impacts your physiology, things like that. So those are two really like easy or bite-sized ways to just like get started. And then I also, I work with clients both in group setting and one-on-one. So that information's on my website too, a little bit more about, yeah, what it means to like slow down and just inhabit your life and not be so focused on next, doing, what if, what was that like? It's more of like, what's here for you now? Reside in your work, reside in your life.
Yes. I was just going to, well, maybe you already covered it. My last question was literally going to be, if you had a megaphone and the whole Twin Cities could hear a piece of wisdom that you had to share, you know, what would that like sentence, two sentences be? Let's just say one sentence. What would it be? Putting you on the spot.
Life is delicious if you can be here for it.
All right. See you later next time. Yeah. Yes. Focus. See the yums. Taste see it. The
yums for sure. Yeah. Well, such a joy. Thank you for having me.
We'll make sure all of your links, your follow links, because you're active on Instagram. You're there on the Facebook. Yes. Your website's gorgeous. There's lots of ways to get involved with Amanda. We'll make sure that all of those links are located on the podcast page. Thank you.
You've listened to another episode of the Well Connected Twin Cities podcast. We regularly sit down with our local wellness professionals and get the inside scoop into what makes holistic healing possible. Check out our events page at wellconnectedtwincities.com and look for the next Thrive Thursday. Subscribe to make sure you don't miss an episode. And if you like what we're doing, leave us a review at Apple Podcasts. Take a screenshot and tag us on Instagram at Well Connected Twin Cities so we can say thank you.